Are you ready to continue in our teaching today? Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Come on, you can be ready. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? You know, the louder you cheer, the shorter I preach. So are you ready for the word of the Lord? Some of your revival's breaking out right now. You're like, hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. Yeah, I know what you guys are thinking. All right, let's go ahead. Today we're going to continue our series on the Trinity. We've been talking about three in one, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We finished talking about the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now we're talking about the Father, bringing this whole big series. We're getting close to the end here, so stay connected. A few more weeks, we're going to pull this whole thing in together as we're talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All three are separate in function, but all three work in harmony together in the life of every believer. And so today I want to talk to you about the Father is omni. The Father is omni. The word omni simply means this. It means all. The word omni means all. And so when we say the Father is all, He is in every way everything that we need. The Father is everything that we need. In all ways, He is everything we need. Today, I know this to be very true, that the Father is everything we need. And if you don't get anything that you get out of this sermon today, you should know this, that God is all that you need. Let me say, God is not partially what you need. Well, I got a little bit of God this week, and then tomorrow I get a little bit of this, and the next week I get a little bit of this thing over here. No, it's not just I get as many things as possible and put them into my life and see hopefully something kind of rises to the surface. I'm here to tell you that God is all that you need today. And when you learn to tap in and realize that He is the omni-God, that He is all present, all knowledge, He is everything we need, that it changes the way we live our life. He is all good. He is all good, right? That's what it means. God is all. He is all good. He is all love. He is all present. He is all knowing. He is all justice. He is all merciful. It's all. See, we got to stop limiting God to our minds. What we've been talking about the Father so much in this series is us rethinking the way we see the Father. You know, we limited Him, as we talked about last week, was a very emotional sermon. Today, I can tell you, it won't be near as emotional as it was last week. So some of you guys, you can put away your tissues, okay? Some of you guys, I saw you guys tearing up last week. We hit some really soft spots in our heart, in our lives. And I know it really affected a lot of people last week. But today, the reason why we're doing this is because we're trying to take God out of the box, take the limits off of what God wants to do in our life, and realize with God, there is no limits. That's simply put. With God, there is no limits. Our mind has limits. God has no limits. He has all the grace we need. He has all the mercy we need. He has all the supply we need. It's unlimited, His power in our life. Today, the first thing I want to talk to you about, the Lord is, the Father is omnipotent. Omnipotent. Today, we realize this, that He is the omnipotent God, all-powerful God. He's the all-powerful God. What's that mean? It means He's unlimited in His power. God has no limits to His power. Look what Matthew says in 19:26. It says, with man, look at this, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, some things are possible, right? All. What do you say? All things. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. See, God has the power to be as good as He wants to be. He has the power to show as much mercy as He wants to show. He has the power to give as much grace as He wants to give. We can't do that. I'm limited on my grace. I'm limited on my love. I'm limited on my mercy. I'm limited on my goodness. Even the best of us, we're limited on how good we can be. But God has no limits. Do you realize that? He has no limits on how good He really wants to be to us. And His limits are far beyond what we can understand. Remember when you was growing up and you thought your dad was Superman? Remember that? Anybody here remember those days where you thought your dad was some superhero? In your mind, you pretended that, only to realize one day that your dad's not Superman. He's really Clark Kent. That's why I'm wearing these glasses today. Because really, we're just Clark Kent, right? I remember one time when Melissa was really small, and we had watched a movie before we went to bed, and we watched this movie called The Mask of Zorro, and we're watching it, you know, Zorro. We watched that, and I was putting her to bed and tucking her in, and I said to Melissa, I said, your dad's got something, I got to tell you a secret. She goes, okay. I got to tell you this, nobody else really knows, but I am really Zorro. She never bats an eye. She never cracks a smile. She looks at me and she threw her arms around my neck. She said, I knew you was Zorro. Please don't tell nobody. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, you know, it's easy for us to want to believe our parents are superheroes growing up, only to realize they're really not. But this is the great thing about our God. He's not that way. I'm not up here telling you our God is unlimited in power, and he's really not. When I tell you that God is unlimited in power, I mean that God has no limits to the power of our God. He has no limits to the power of our God. Today, God is without any limits, and he is there today. We got to quit putting God in a box and quit putting limits on God. He is there today, and he has all power. He's all powerful. If he decrees it in his word, he has the power to back it up. If he gave you a promise, he has the power to fulfill that promise. You know, there's people in our life who make you promises. Many times they're just good-hearted promises with good intentions. But we know when they make those promises, you know what? There's no way they can really live up to that promise. They mean well. They have good intentions. But we know. They're limited. There's no way they can fulfill that promise. But we don't have to have that attitude when it comes to our God, our Father. He is not a dad who breaks his promises. He's not a dad who makes promises he can't fulfill. He will fulfill every promise he's ever made to us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unlimited in his resources. He's unlimited in his power. He's unlimited in what he wants to do in our life. We are the one with limits. We got to stop and take off the limits we perceive him in, take him out of that box and say, God, you're so much bigger than what I can see and comprehend. So even though my mind doesn't understand where the resource is coming from, God, you're in control. God, even though my mind doesn't see me walking through this hard season, how I'll ever get out of it, God, I know that you'll get me through it. God, my mind can't conceive. My mind can't comprehend, God, what's going to happen next. But God, you've already ordained a new season. And so we realize that there are no limits to our God. There are no limits. Look at this. There are no limits to our God. And because there are no limits to our God, let me quickly give you three things to go along with this. Because God has no limits in our life, number one, I have the power to overcome sin in my life. I have the power to overcome sin in my life. Look what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. First of all, let's stop right there. Some of you here, you get tempted. You're like, oh, I'm such an idiot. Oh, man, I'm such a failure. Oh, I'm so weak. I'm being tempted in this area. Nobody else is being tempted like this. Why am I being tempted like this? And the Bible's very clear that temptation hits all of us, okay? We all deal with temptation. It says it's all common, okay? So temptation is a common thing. But the enemy wants you to think you're the only one who's being tempted. But look what it says about the temptation. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can handle and endure it. So that you can endure it. Listen, God is always, he knows we're tempted. And he says this, that he's not going to allow us to be tempted so much that we can't handle it, we can't bear it. And he always provides a way out. Come on, say, God provides a way out. Let's say it together. God provides a way out. One more time. God provides a way out. God always provides a way out. We got to stop just saying, well, you know, I'm saved by grace and I'll never quit this temptation in my life. No, God will always provide a way out when we look for it, when we ask for it. See, temptation doesn't have to control your life. Addiction doesn't have to control your life. Well, I'll never get beyond my addiction. Yes, you can. You don't have to live addicted to anything. You don't have to live falling to temptation, the same temptation year after year. But God can call you out of that thing. It's time for some of you to get yourself out of the pig's pen and say, you know what? I've been living here, rolling around in this mud long enough in my life. It's time for me to pick up my head and say, God, I'm climbing my way out. Even if I can't run, even if I can't walk, I'm going to crawl my way out. And I'm going to get out of this thing. Why? Because there is no temptation that I cannot handle. God, if I'll just pick up my head and say, God, I give my life to you. God, I surrender fully to you. God, get me out of this mess. God, change the way I think. God, change my attitude. God, change my desire. God, change the way I'm thinking right now. God, get me out of here. God will provide a way out. This is the way God operates. He always provides a way out. We just got to seek it. We just got to say, God, I know you can get me out of this. Break loose in that in your life. Number two, because God has no limits, he also has power over our bodies. He has power over our physical bodies. Do you realize this? Look what Romans 8:11 says. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So, you know, we all love Easter, right? We love Easter. If you ever watched a passion play, you've seen the movie, or you watch it live, or you come to a church and see the tomb there, and the fog machine kicks on, the stone begins to shake and roll away, and the choir begins to sing, and we all get goosebumps. We're like, yeah! You know, it's a very moving thing. We just feel this anointing surging through the building and wherever we're at. We just get, you know, we get these goosebumps on the back of our head. Like, yes, that's the Holy Ghost power. It's such an exciting thing. He says that same anointing that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive in us. It's alive in us. That same power, that same anointing is in us. It's in our bodies. That God has given us that anointing in our bodies. God has given us power over our bodies. God has power over your body. Give him control. God, my mind is under control of you. God, my body under submission to you. I'm not going to allow temptation to rule me the rest of my life, control me the rest of my life. But at some point, I got to say, God, I'm yielding everything I am to you. God, I'm surrendering everything I am to you. Why? Because you have the power. You have the power to take the dead things and to make them die in my life and to call forth a new season in my life. He has power over our bodies. Number three, he also has power over Satan. When there are no limits to God, you realize he has power over Satan, okay? Look what 1 John 4:4 says. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is weaker than he who is in the world, right? Right? Okay, you wouldn't read with me. Let's look at it again. He who is in you is weaker? No. He who is in you is the same as? No. He who is in you is greater. Let's say it together. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. This is something I want you to get. You know, I remember when I was a kid growing up that before we had 2,025 channels and satellite, you know, Friday night, I love Friday nights, staying up and watching TV Friday nights, you know, and at midnight, they would always show a Friday night scary movie. Anybody remember those nights when they showed Friday night scary movies? All right. And so you would stay up and watch Friday night scary movies, and usually it was some old classic that was, you know, made when my dad was young. And so a lot of times it was like in black and white. But, you know, I always love these movies. They're really, really cheesy, but they crack me up. I love watching them. And one of my favorite ones was Frankenstein. Anybody like Frankenstein, the movie Frankenstein? Yeah. You know, Dr. Frankenstein was crazy. And he decided he was going to make this guy. So he made this guy, you know. Man, how hard was that part to get, you know? You don't have to memorize any lines. Just walk around, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so he made this Frankenstein, this monster who's kind of assisting him around the lab. And then eventually, the monster he created overtakes him. And then the city comes out, remember, and they all the guys with the torches, and they torch the place and burn the place down because the monster that Frankenstein had created overtook the creator. But see, that's great for movies. That's great for fairy tales or for scary movies. But you know what? It doesn't happen in real life because our God never creates anything. Listen to me. Our God never creates anything that's stronger than who he is. He is unlimited in power. He's never created anything that is can overtake him, that is stronger than who he is. So keeping that in mind today, God doesn't have this problem. So let me ask you, who created Satan? God did. Who kicked Satan out of heaven? God did. Remember, no matter what Satan tells you and lies to you in your mind, what Satan tries to do to control your life, realize this, that he has no control unless you submit it to him. Why? Because he has no control over you as long as you're in God. When you're in God, he has no control over you. God created him, and he can never be stronger than God. We got to realize this and realize that our God is bigger. No matter what we're going through, our God is bigger. No matter what Satan tries to bring our way, our God is bigger. No matter what Satan tries to bring to discourage you, our God is bigger. And number two, our Father is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God knows everything. Past, present, and future. God knows everything. Past, present, and future. Remember me telling you a while back that, you know, there's no thoughts that just occur to God. He doesn't just wake up one day and go, oh, I got a thought today. I never thought of that before. He's all-knowing. He knows. He knows. And he says he has so many truths that he wants to reveal to us through his Holy Spirit. The Father is all-knowing. He doesn't just have thoughts occur to him. He knows it. And so I realize in this, if I am in him, he knows everything. He is in control. I know he's in control of my life. And I realize this today, that I'm giving him control. I want you to realize something today, that God already knows what you're going to go through. God already knows when you're going to go through a tough season. God already knows when you're going to go through a trial. God already knows when you're going to go through something that's going to be really, really hard. And the great news is this, that whatever we go through in life, God always provides a way out. God always provides a way out. He always has an alternative. Think about it. Justice must be served. Justice must be served. Yes, that's true. But God always had a way out. He sent his son to take our justice, that Jesus can get on our side of the scale. And so he can say, ah, mercy, mercy, mercy. Now they're receiving fully mercy. Why? Because God always has a plan. And so what I want you to know today is this, that God always knows when we're going to go through things in our life that are going to be hard. And his plan is not to leave us. His plan is not to forsake us. His plan is not to leave us abandoned. It may be a hard season. It may be a tough season. And you may think I'm all alone. You may think that I'm walking through this without God. But I'm telling you, God is there. He is there, and he's walking you through. And he's already provided the way out. He's already provided a new season. If you just get through the season you're in, he's already got a better season waiting for you. But sometimes he allows us to go through these tough seasons because he's trying to change some things in us. He's trying to change our character. He's trying to change some things and develop us and to make us stronger. I mean, how many's ever had children? You know that sometimes you have to go through tough lessons, and they go through the pain of walking those lessons out. And as much as we hate it as parents, we know that sometimes they just got to walk through a tough season to get through that so they can mature and walk in a better season in the next part of their life. It's a part of maturing. And God has the same thing. He knows there's times we're going to walk through the hard season. But don't stop there. Don't give up there. God is with you. He has not left you. He is unlimited. He has a plan, and his plan is in action. And he's already got a new season waiting on the person who doesn't give up during this hard season. And his new season can't take wimps. His new season can't take quitters. His new season can't take people who have no spiritual backbone. But he needs somebody to come through a hard season so when they walk in the prosperity of where he has them, when they walk in the new blessing, when they walk in the new calling, they've got character to sustain that. They've got a place to go to sustain that. They've got things to go along to sustain that. So he takes us through tough times to change us and to get the things out of us. But he's not left you. He has not left you. He is there. He is everywhere. See, don't give up. Our character is defined, is shaped through the things we go through in our lives. I love what God talks to Job about in Job chapter 38. Remember, Job was very prosperous. He was one of the richest guys. He had a lot. Everybody loved Job. And Satan comes to God and says, hey, you're serving Job. I think that if I take away all the blessings you've given him, I think he'll curse you, God. And so with permission, God allowed him to test Job. And as he begins to take away everything Job ever had, ever earned, everything ever dear to him, he lost it all. It says that Job's there and he's questioning God. God, where are you? God, have you abandoned me? God, why have you left me to die? God, why have you left me to go through this? God, why? And finally, look what God says to Job in verses 1 through 5. And we'll skip around a little bit. This whole chapter of 38, man, it's really big boy stuff right here. Look what God says to Job. He says, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm and said, who is that that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? And look at what he says now. Now, Job, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. How many know I would be terrified if God said that to me? You better, it's time for you to brace yourself like a man. I'm getting ready to ask you some tough questions and you're going to answer. Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely, Job, you know. You're so smart. You know what God's will is. So surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? Look what verse 12 says. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place? I mean, how would you like if God said, hey, Job, have you ever told the sun to rise and when to set down? Have you ever told the morning, hey, it's time to arise, light to shine? Have you ever done these things? He goes, do you send the lightning bolts on their way? And do the lightning bolts ask permission or give you a report? Here we are. Job, don't come to me and tell me you think you know God's will. He's like, man, I know so much, Job. You don't even understand how powerful I am. You don't even understand the limits you're putting on me. Job is so much more to me. And I think that sometimes we've got to take the limits off of God. God says, I know you're hurting, but don't give up. I have a plan, and I'm still God, and I'm still in control, and I'm much bigger than the storm you're walking through right now. Quit limiting God because you're walking through a hard season. Quit putting God in the box because you're walking through a hard season. God, you don't like me. God, you're mad at me. God, I don't ever do anything. Quit putting God in that box. He says, listen, I'm so much bigger than that. Listen, just walk through that season knowing I am with you. I have never left you. I have never forsaken you. You stay faithful. You push when it's hard. You crawl when you can't walk. You walk when you can't run. But you keep going. Don't stop in that season. Don't sit there. Go, go, go. God is unlimited. And when I get through there, I walk into a new season. And God says, listen, I had something waiting for you all along. Job got double, but everything he lost, it was returned back to him. And so we see that God has got a plan. If we just don't give up, he's in control. And then the last thing, the Father's omnipresent. The Father is omnipresent. God is everywhere. Long before Johnny Cash, God's been everywhere, man. I'm telling you. And he didn't just visit there. He is there. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've been everywhere, man. And God's already been there, and he's already there, and he's still there. See, we have a hard time comprehending this, but God's presence is everywhere. He says God's presence is everywhere. He's omnipresent. His presence is everywhere. I love what Psalm says in 139, verses 7 and 8. Where can I go from your spirit? And he asked the question, where can I flee from your presence? He's like, there is no answer to this. There is nowhere I can get away from your spirit. There's no way I can get away from your presence, God. He goes, if I climb to the heavens, you're there. If I make my way to the bed of the depths, you are there. He is there. God doesn't travel because he's already there. God is already there. Think about that. Look at this way. I think sometimes we look at this statement, and I want to see you perceive God in this way, that God is above all. Look at this. God is above all, presiding over us, looking over us. God is beneath all, holding us up, lifting us up. God is outside of all, wrapping his arms around us, ready to embrace us. God is inside of all of us, filling us. One more time, think about it. God's above all, looking over us. God's beneath all, sustaining us. God is outside of all, with his arms around us. And God is inside of all, feeling us. God is everywhere. So the million-dollar question, though, is this. So if God is everywhere, how is it possible to be away from God? That's the million-dollar question today. If God is everywhere, how is it possible to be away from God? I think we can answer it this way. That, you know, my wife and I, we can be in the same room. She can be on her phone. I can be on my phone. We can be texting people and looking at social media or watching something on our phone and not even saying a word to each other. But we're just in the same room. And Steve, I can just get a feeling by looking at my wife, you know what? This woman really wants me. I can really get that feeling sometimes. We got 5 kids. She can't keep her hands off of me. Just telling you right now. Anyway, so I love to embarrass her. But you know what I'm talking about, guys. You can be in the same room and sometimes not even say a word, but you know when there's unity there. You know that when there's love in the room. You know when there's a love. Sometimes you don't even have to. You just sense it. Love is in the air. Now, there's other times. Many times. We'll have an argument or disagreement about something. And we'll be in the same room. We'll be arguing. Then we have to get in the car and go somewhere like the church. Because we're the pastors and they expect us to be here. So we're coming to church and we're sitting right next to each other. We can't be sitting any more closer than we are. But yeah, we are so far apart. Even though we're right there in the same room. Right there in the same car. We're so far apart. Why? Because we're not in unity. So what I'm saying today is this, that God's presence is everywhere. But if you're not walking in unity with the Father, you're not going to experience his manifest presence in your life. If you want to experience God's manifest presence in your life, learn to hook up in unity. God, I know you're here. God, I know you're so much bigger than what I'm going through. God, I know that you have not left me nor forsaken me. God, I know, God, you're carrying me. God, I know you're pulling me. God, I know you're encouraging me. God, I know you're right here. God, I know you're healing me. God, I know you're changing my attitude. God, I know you're healing my bitterness. God, I know you're stripping me of my pride. God, I know that you're changing me. God, I know, and I walk in unity, and I experience the manifest presence of the Father. That's when the Father comes, and his presence will flood you. I'm telling you, it will flood you like you're singing your favorite song on Sunday morning right here. And it floods your car, it floods your room, it'll flood your office, wherever you're at, you'll feel why, because you're walking in that unity. See, when I unify with the Father, today I want you to realize our God is omni. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. You know, in Genesis chapter 28, in verse 16, there's a great story here about Jacob. And Jacob had been wandering around for a long time. Wandering around, it says he goes asleep and God appears to him in a dream, you know. I always wonder this, because there's people like Jacob that God is so, they're just so strong-willed, so much of a bonehead that God's got to put him asleep to talk to him. Some of you are like, oh, that's me, Pastor. I've had that dream too. It's been a few times God spoke to me that way as well. You know, it's one of those things where God had to put Jacob asleep to talk to him. And it's when you've heard the story about Jacob's ladder and that whole thing. And God says to him, you know, hey, the ground you're on, this is the ground I promised your father. This is the ground I have for you and your family. This is the ground I have for you and your sons. This is the ground I'm going to give you. And he wakes up from that dream. And look what it says here. He says, man. He goes, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't even know it. I wasn't even aware of it. You see, this is what happens in our life. That when we go through the hard seasons of our life, we look back and say, God, where were you? God, where were you? I thought you was all powerful. I thought you'd never leave me. And we look back, we say, oh, God, you were there, and I didn't even know it. God, you were there in the middle of my depression, and I didn't even know. God, you were there in the middle of my despair. God, you were there in the middle of my hurt. God, you were there in the middle of my disappointment. God, you were there in the middle of it all, and I didn't even know it. But now, because I pressed through that season, now because I realized that, God, if I didn't give up, that God, you would sustain me. You would carry me. God, you are all-powerful, and I continue to walk. I continue to crawl. I continue to go forward in this difficult season, that when I get through, I look back, oh God, you were there and I didn't even know it. But I would not be where I am today if not God. And how many of us can say that today? I wouldn't be where I am except for God. God, if God hadn't saved my marriage, you wouldn't be here. If God hadn't saved my life, I wouldn't be here. If God hadn't saved my business, I wouldn't be here. If God hadn't saved me, I wouldn't be here. I was a wreck, but even in the middle of my wreck, I was in despair, but even in the middle of my despair, God, you were there, and I didn't even know it. He is all powerful. He is always there. He has not left you. All you got to do is say, God, I want to walk in unity with you. He's there. I want you to bow your heads. I want to ask you this question today. The most important question of the day that you'll be asked. It's simply this. It's, Pastor, I know about Jesus, but I've never accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Today, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior in my life. We won't do anything to embarrass you. We won't do anything to single you out. But today, if you're here, say, Pastor, I want to tell Jesus I'm ready to accept him as Lord of my life. I'm ready to be a Christ follower today. With nobody looking but me, can you just raise your hand where you're at this morning and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus? Thank you. Yeah, thanks, guys. Anybody else want to accept Jesus Christ today? If you haven't raised it, raise it right now where I can see it. Thank you. I see those hands. This is what we're going to do. Those who raise your hands, I want you to say this prayer out loud, repeat it after me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you along as well. We're going to say it with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I give you everything I am and shall be. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will live for you. I will follow after you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah, give him a hand clap. Yeah, it's a big deal. This is why we're here today. If you raise your hand and you prayed that prayer for the first time today, before you leave, we're going to invite you to stop by a welcome center. We'd love to give you a free Bible. Inside there is some information on next steps, things you need to do. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet. How many today say, Pastor, I got to take the limits off God. I got to take the limits off God. I realize today that I've been putting limits on God. Today I need to take those limits off God. Anybody here? That's you? That's what I want you to do. We're going to close with this song. If you want to join me around the front, I invite you to step out and say, God, I want to do that. I believe our God's greater. We're going to close with this anthem today, and I want you to make it the anthem of your heart. That our God is bigger than anything you're facing today. Our God is bigger than any problem you're facing today. Our God is bigger than anything that's in front of you. He is with you. He's not left you. Push it to the front, God. Make room for those coming behind you. Let's sing it today. Make it personal.
Water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God.
you lift your hands, I want to pray for you today. Father, I thank you. God, you are with us. You have not left us. But Father, I come against the spirit that tries to tell us that, God, you're not with us. That's a lie. God, we know that you are omnipresent. God, you are with us. Lord, and you're unlimited in your power. So right now, God, I speak that, God, you are encouraging people right now. That, God, we can get through anything we're going through. God, we can break the addiction. We can break the temptation. We can break the depression. We can break the fear. God, we can break anything we're going through today, God, because you have no limits. And God, I release right now the power, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, our Savior. God, I release that power in the bodies right now, in the mind and the spirit. That God, we can walk in the spiritual authority you've given us. And God, I thank you today that God, you have sent us today to speak encouragement. Lord, you spend us today, God, to speak over the lives of the hearts of every believer here today. That God, you are with us. You are with us. If you believe that word, I want you to put your hands together. I want you to give him a shout of praise. Can we do that? Amen. Turn to your neighbor, give him a big high five and say, God is with us. God bless you. We love you. Have a great, great week, guys.